둘, 셋, 파!
For Hey Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Hey, I'm Nancy Wilson.
Mike Campbell.
Mark Mothersbaugh from Devo.
Hey, it's Adam from County Crows, and I am here giving you the story behind the song.
The story behind the song is back for season four. I'm Peter Chidi of Deep Cuts Media, and this season we're diving even deeper into some of music history's most iconic tracks with the legends who made them.
What's so beautiful about it is a lot of people connect with, you gotta live your life and don't let the big man push you down. Don't have to live like a refugee, can't keep fighting for what you believe. And that was Tom.
From the spark of inspiration to untold tales from the studio, we unlock the true stories that shape the music you love.
At the time on the radio, there was a really cool riff by Nazareth covering a Joni Mitchell song, This Flight Tonight. It had the same groove, but I think Barracuda kind of blew it out of the water.
Join us as we all sit down with music icons like Devo, Heart, Mike Campbell of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Sublime, Counting Crows, and so many more. New episodes are out now from the Consequence Podcast Network, so tune in wherever you get your podcasts and join me for the story behind the song.
So you want to be a rock and roll star? No? Well, how about a podcast star? Well, as it turns out, there's a new all-in-one platform just for you. It's called Anchor, and it's the easiest way to make a podcast. And check this out, it's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer, and then Anchor will distribute the podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify and Apple Podcast and, you know, everywhere else in podcast land. And what's even better, you can actually make money from your podcast. Go figure. No minimum listenership on that. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go ahead, download the free Anchor app right now or go to anchor.fm to get started. So what are you waiting for? Podcast stardom is within your reach.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With, the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence of Sound, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Wherever you're listening from, I do hope you take that moment right now to hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with the series. We release new interviews every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists, discover some new ones, or know what's happening in the music world. You can find us, of course, at all the regular spots, you know, where you're listening from right now, of course, but that includes the big ones like iTunes and Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Just type in Kyle Meredith With, and we'll take care of the rest. I'm Kyle Meredith, and today I'm going to be talking with Taishi. She's back with a brand new single called Die For Your Love, and in fact, this sort of starts a new part of her career, and we're going to be talking about that, getting away from the label game and having more control over what she's doing, how she ended up at a songwriter's retreat, where in the end, she ended up writing this set of music, which will eventually become an EP in just 6 days. So I want to hear what that experience was like. Also about the difference in writing as a bilingual singer. She writes both in English and Spanish. I want to hear what that process, how they differ as well. And she'll tell us about what to expect from the songs we haven't heard from this upcoming single. But of course, we get into that. We'll catch up about how her career has been going this year, as we have with every artist. That does include a canceled tour with Blood Orange. She was the opening act on the Blood Orange. I think they got like 3 dates into it. So we're going to be asking about what the mood was like in the area around that time, as well as her collaborations with Blood Orange, too. They've done several. They've got several on the books. So there's got to be a good reason for that. So let's jump into it. It's Kyle Meredith with Taishi.
Hey, Kyle. It's Val.
Well, I know there's lots to talk about because last year you had the record with La Linda, and there's already new music out with Die for Your Love, and I want to talk about those too. But of course, you know, with any musician right now, everybody's sort of getting their footing as to a change of plans. And I know that was definitely, or it looks like that was part of what you were up against too, because you had just started a tour with Blood Orange, right?
Yeah, we had gotten two dates into the tour, and then just it became very apparent that we had to cancel it. So that was kind of the beginning of this whole like quarantine situation for me, which sucked.
Right. What was the mood of those, if you don't mind my asking? Because, you know, it really was the rug was yanked out from a lot of artists. But, you know, for the few that were on the road, it seems to be that you could sense that there was the change in the air, or other artists could anyway.
Yeah, I think there was definitely like from one day to the next, there was like something changed, because I think we started the tour and everybody, you know, all of this was kind of going on and starting to be talked about a lot more over here. But I don't think the public had kind of yet like processed the fact that we were going to have to change all of our plans. So I think we were kind of starting the tour and we were all super excited, and it was really fun. Those first two shows were like some of the most fun I've ever had like on tour, and we were really excited. The audience was super excited. It was like really good energy. And then we had like a day off between that second show and the next one, and it was during that day off that I think everything kind of started to shift. I think like in general, that was the day that I think like the tone kind of changed for everyone. And it just so happened that it was like, you know, we had this tour happening, and so there was kind of that day where I think everybody knew it was going to be canceled. And then we finally heard the last word that it was canceled. And it was pretty, I mean, it was sad. I think everybody, I think, started panicking right around that time too, and kind of thinking, okay, like, you know, if shit's really going to hit the fan, like, how am I going to get home? Like, how do I, you know, get back to my loved ones? Like, we're in the middle of nowhere right now. You know, there were all those feelings. And then, of course, just like the sadness of you spend like at least a month kind of like mentally, physically, in terms of like material, like preparing yourself for this, you know, for this tour. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, okay, well, what do I do now? So Right. There was that kind of feeling. I think there was a lot of kind of like disbelief. And I think it was just what everybody was going through. I think there were like these kind of 24, 48 hours where everybody just kind of, it hit us, I think, in general, like here in the States. So we were kind of, you know, experiencing all those same things, but also with the sadness of having started a really great tour and then just having to go home.
Well, it especially knowing that, you know, going through all that prep and just even the mentality, as you're talking about, to just get to that point and suddenly, you know, there it is wiped away. And I'll say this, you know, that's a shame for any artist, but especially this tour right here, because the two of you, both with you and Blood Orange, I mean, what a great team. I know that's been a fruitful collaboration, it seems like anyway, but to take that onto the road, like, that looked like a cool show.
Yeah, that's the most upsetting part to me. Is it was just kind of like, I think we had kind of been talking about touring together for a minute, and it just kind of lined up perfectly for this tour. And I was really excited because, you know, I'm on a song of his, he's on a song of mine. So there's that whole cross, you know, we were going to do these songs together live, and I've performed with him and his band a bunch of times before, like, you know, doing our song at festivals and whatnot. So like, I've become really, really tight with his whole crew and band, and it was just like a really lovely like meshing of our worlds. And yeah, I think it was a great build, but you know, maybe it'll happen again.
I'll bring this up while we're here too, because, you know, as you're mentioning the collaborations you all have done in the past, what does he bring that maybe others don't? Like, what do you get out of collaborating with Blood Orange? You know, that's worked so well for you all.
What's unique about Dev and like the way he works and collaborates is like he's very much like he doesn't enforce his presence like in a way of like, here's like what I'm thinking and here are all my ideas. Like, he's kind of more of like a listener, and like, and then he'll kind of just be quiet and like do his thing for like 2 minutes, and it's like, oh wow, you just made like the most beautiful, like incredible thing. So it's that kind of like having somebody who he's just very easy to collaborate with. And I think he also understands, because he's you know, a singer, and he's worked with so many singers. Like, I think he understands like the what that writing process is like and should be for someone like me. So the process is really easy, and he's just very like easy about things. So there's no like pressure. There's no like, you know, we have to do this or that ever. And I think for me, that just like works really well. And it kind of, because I think I tend to maybe get like fixated or kind of like, a you know, intense about things. So I think he kind of lets me like let go of that.
Yeah, it sounds like maybe that's rubbed off a little bit, at least as you've been going forward, because even with, you know, a full album having just come out last year, you are already releasing new music, and Die for Your Love is what we've heard first on this, which I hear there's even more on the way, right? Like this is the start of what, an EP?
Yeah. This is and I'm finishing the EP like right now, and Die for Your Love is going to be the first single off of it.
So to be able to kind of take what you were saying there with Dez and Blood Orange, you know, just makes it sound like you're going a little bit of an easier route. I don't know if that's the case, but are you able to kind of, just the intensity or the scrutiny that you pour over something?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think also like the two albums I've released so far were kind of within like a very kind of a situation that was more kind of structured around like the traditional label artist structure. And I feel like that kind of led to me feeling, I don't know, I think the process was always a little, it wasn't as like intuitive and like fun as I wanted it to be. And I think as a result, both of those albums ended up taking a pretty long time to come out, at least in my opinion, because I wrote most of that material, you know, over like a relatively like short period of time. And then there would always be like a year or, you know, of just trying to, you know, move through all the like obstacles of like getting everything done and getting all the support and getting it out. And so now that I'm outside of that and I'm functioning more, you know, more like an independent artist, like I think I've regained some of that freedom of just being able to make something quickly and put it out quickly. And that's kind of what I'm trying to do with this EP. I'm always making music and wanting to put it out. And I just didn't really want to wait as long. And kind of when you wait so long on something, then you start overthinking it. And, you know, so that's kind of like what the inertia like behind this EP is, just moving into a space where I can just put something out and, you know, not overthink it, not necessarily make an album, but just kind of move into the next phase.
Have you noticed a change in the way you relate to your songs, a relationship with your songs with these new ones, whereas something that, you know, is finally making its way out, as you said, that you've already set on for however long, a year or two?
Yeah. I think definitely. I feel like because I wrote the EP over the course of like a week when I was at like a writing retreat in Texas. And so because of that, it was just kind of the environment around writing these songs was very different than when I'm writing songs for an album. And maybe I'm here in LA and I'm working with a bunch of different people, and it takes time to move a song forward because you're kind of, you know, you have to work with a bunch of other people's schedules, and it's just kind of like harder, I think, to approach things that way. So this time I wrote the EP in like 6 days. It was just more about the songwriting than anything else. And I think I was also coming at it from, I think I was, when I was writing these songs, I was trying to kind of write from a place that was a little more outside of myself, like not so personal of like, you know, what do I want to say and like let me say that, and more just kind of like maybe it's a story and I'm like telling the story, or you know, maybe I'm singing this song through the eyes of somebody who is blank, you know what I mean? I was kind of trying to play with those things a little more. So I think the songs are definitely like different than some of my past music in that way. I feel like I'm always trying to explore like writing in different ways, or at least I'm trying to do that more now.
Well, I know there's a lot of ways to write a song. There's a lot of ways to make an album, and talking about, you know, working with so many collaborators, and you know, as I read, that happened on the last record too. You know, it was more in that, what I would think, the big pop sense with you know, those songwriting collaborators, which, you know, for me, and I wouldn't call myself a musician in any way, but it seems like, you know, I'm not putting that down. I don't want this to come across like I'd put down any way to write a song. But the way you're talking about now with this EP sounds like it is so much. You have so much opportunity to be more immediate, to have your own voice come through, whereas the other version seems more like a machine in a way to me.
I think the reason why my album La Linda took me so long to finish and get out was because I was really trying to conserve that element of it very much being me and what I was envisioning, despite the fact that I was working with so many people. So in some ways it was that because if you think about, like, you know, you're working with 9 different producers across this album, and, you know, there's different combinations of them on different songs, and not everybody is involved across the board. So there's kind of, you lose that like cohesive element. So I was really like trying to lead the ship in that way and make sure that even though it was really fragmented like that, it ended up feeling like one world. And so I think that's kind of why I really kind of slaved over it. And it took me a really long time to get some of those songs to where I wanted them. Like some of the songs, it was like a 2-year process. So I think that plays into what you were saying. And with this EP, I didn't want to start writing songs in like a session with, you know, a new producer I was working with. I wanted to just like write the songs over kind of the most basic things and then figure out the production. So in that way, it was more like, you know, much more like direct and easy in a way. Yeah.
I would say that you've accomplished it too, because I didn't know anything about, you know, the collaborators until long after I'd heard the record. And now even when I look back on it, it is impressive what you were able to pull off, because you take a song like We, and I'm projecting a little bit here, because when I hear Thief, like these seem to talk to each other. Thief seems to follow where you were going from We. Like it mm-hmm. does seem cohesive in that way. Was that the case between those two songs? Do you see it that way?
I actually never really saw it that way until you said that just now. And I think it makes a lot of sense. I also think they might be back to back on the track list. Or no, they're not. But I think they were kind of coming from the same place. I wrote them at different times, but I think they were coming from the same place of like, I think I was experiencing like some growth and kind of this phase of like rebirth and like letting go of a lot of past baggage. And I think We and Thief are both songs that talk about that, kind of about this like, you know, shedding of the weight of stuff and moving into like a more hopeful phase. But yeah, I never really thought about those two songs going hand in hand. But yeah, it actually makes a lot of sense.
Well, I love how when stuff like that sort of happens, even if it's unintentional, because it makes sense. Yeah. I mean, it's coming from the same person. It's all coming from you. So,
oh,
you know,
sure.
In some degree, you know, they all should talk to each other.
Yeah.
I think
that's one of the things that you only really start to notice, like as an artist, like at least for me, I only really start to like notice those things once the record is like finished. But it's of course, it makes sense. You know, you're writing this like body of work during a time in your life and you are the same person and you're, you know, experiencing a lot of the same emotions. So the songs are coming out of this place. But I feel like it's really fun that to me that like I don't really put together those threads at all until like it's finished. And then I'm kind of like, oh, you know, I said this in that song and that ties into this.
On another side, you know, how you write, I mean, you're also a bilingual singer. You know, I mean, every few years we get a song that seems to break the barrier, and it feels like that's happening a little bit more. And I guess what I'm talking about specifically is especially when, you know, a Spanish type of song more often than other nationalities seems to make it into the English world. But when you're writing, when I listen to those, they still sound like very different types of pop songs. Of course, it happens mostly in the pop world. For you as a bilingual singer, are there differences in how you approach a song for an English listener versus possibly, you know, a Spanish listener, a difference in that?
I think there is. When I was writing those songs in Spanish, because I was starting to write a lot more in Spanish around when I was working on the album, and I especially noticed it, like, because, you know, I was writing all these songs in English, and then I was kind of writing some stuff in Spanish, but then I made the conscious choice that I wanted to, you know, have Spanish songs on the record. So I kind of got myself into that mindset. And when I did that, I kind of immediately noticed a difference. I don't know if it's still there, but I think it kind of opened up like a different, yeah, a different approach to writing, where I feel like in Spanish, it's more almost like immediate, like just phrases, words, like would just come to me and I'll go off of that. Whereas when I write in English, it's maybe a little bit more like I'm thinking about it. So I don't know, it's kind of hard to explain, but something about like writing in Spanish feels a little more like guttural, maybe. It's hard to, but I do think that when you write in different languages, you do kind of like, you access, you know, different points of like how you're approaching writing. And I think that's a really, something really cool that I discovered more when I was making the album.
It's really interesting. And that's something that, you know, most artists, they don't have that muscle. That's a tool that, you know, even the more adventurous artists, you know, to some degree, they're still, you know, they're only able to use the tools that they have, you know, they're only playing in the sandbox that they're in. And to have that kind of ability there, it is really interesting to hear about what doors that can open for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's like in any, I think speaking, you know, multiple languages in itself is like, it allows you to kind of like think from different places a little bit. And so I feel like really, you know, I feel lucky that I speak more than one language and I can use that in my writing, for sure. Yeah.
So I will ask, you know, now that we've heard Die for Your Love, what else can we expect then from the upcoming songs? Is there anything that's become very obvious to you?
I mean, I think sonically, it's a pretty wide range. I mean, I kind of feel like that's what I end up doing on everything I release. Like, I kind of like to have, you know, this song is one extreme, this song is the other extreme, and then I fill in the blank. And that's kind of what the EP is. Like, there's Die for Your Love, obviously, is much more, you know, like a bigger production. It's more of a pop song. It's more of a banger, like trying to, you know, get you to dance. And then there is stuff that is a lot more acoustic and very raw. And then kind of that in between is filled in by some of the other songs. So Die for Your Love is like one end of the spectrum sonically. But in terms of like the songs and all the songs kind of came from a very specific emotional place because I wrote them all within this week. And it was like at the beginning of the year, January, the year kind of started out on a very bleak note for me. Just some personal things happened. And I was kind of like, I feel like I started experiencing some of this like mass depression that we're all experiencing, like from coronavirus. I feel like I started experiencing that like at the beginning of the year. And I was like, when I went to Texas on this writing retreat, I was in this very like kind of just really down and like this kind of very like pessimistic mindset. And the songs all came out of that. And it felt like I was kind of writing this EP about this kind of apocalyptic situation. Like, and weirdly enough, then, you know, all this stuff happened and I felt like, oh, like, you know, I kind of felt like I had this feeling of like impending doom, like when I was writing the songs, and I didn't really, it was a weird time, and like these songs all came of it, and I'm really, you know, happy about that. But yeah, it's kind of interesting now that I feel like, you know, we're all going through this really dark time. It's a weird feeling because now they kind of have like a little bit more relevance to me.
You're ahead of us on that emotional train. a few steps in front, you're like, this is what you're going to feel next.
Yeah,
by the way.
For some reason. Yeah, the year like it just started off that way. So
really interesting. Well, I look forward to hearing those as well. Val, it was such a pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much again for doing this. I am really enjoying all the music that you're putting out. You're one of the most interesting artists in the game right now. So thank you for doing what you're doing.
Wow, thank you so much. That means a lot to me. Yeah, I'm excited to share the rest of the EP with you.
We'll all be listening. Thanks for that. And again, thanks for taking the time to talk today. It was a real pleasure.
Same. Okay. Bye.
And my thanks to Taishi. Again, the brand new single is called Die for Your Love, and it's out now. And thanks to you for checking out the series. Again, before you get out of here, I do hope if you're not already a subscriber, you'll take that moment to hit the subscribe button. iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts from, just type in Kyle Meredith With, and look for new interviews every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday so you can keep up with your favorite artists, so you can discover some new ones, so you can know what's happening in the music world.
After that, head to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern, an hour full of song premieres and music news and anniversary spins and bonus interviews. That's WFPK.org. Consequence of Sound has your music and film news. You can find me on just about any social media platform, too, at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, I'm Jen, and I love horror movies.
I'm Mikey. I'm dead inside, and I also love horror movies.
And we really like to torture our friend Todd because he hates horror movies.
That I do. And that's why they call me the horror virgin.
That's the only reason we call him that.
I'm not. No other reasons at all.
Whatever. So every
week, we take him through the encyclopedia of horror, the good, the bad, the ridiculously Jack Frosts.
And then we make fun of it more or less.
Or explain its deceptive feminism.
Oh. Yeah, exactly. That's what I do. That's my thing.
And I'm the funny one. Our episodes drop on Monday, so check us out.